Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. In fact, I was checking out some of that new inventory on sunburymotors.com just a couple of days ago, in fact. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous sales staff works with you to save you money. Great service department. Routine inspections, diagnostics, they handle it all. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, Wisconsin at the Kohl Center dramatically wins the Big Ten, or at least a share of the Big Ten regular season title.
That he missed. Davison missed. Ivy in a hurry, pulling up for three. He tied the game. Oh, a lethal shot from Ivy. 5 seconds to go. Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line. Yes! Has become a glass factory. Looked like somebody just came over the table.
I think it was a fan.
On the far side, but the Wisconsin Badgers have taken a two-point lead. Jaden Ivey looked like he was going to send us to overtime.
I mean, shot making at the highest level. It's Jaden Ivey coming in transition, just pulling up. And then how about the freshman, Chucky Hepburn? I mean, this is the biggest shot of your career. And you've got an All-American guarding you. Look at the space he creates. When he gets away from Ivey, and glass is good, apparently, in Madison tonight, because that's back-to-back shots where their guards have gone glass, and they could end up winning them the league.
And it did, as a matter of fact. They won the game. The other shot was Johnny Davis, by the way, who was able to hit one and bank one in. Davis thought it was no good, so he went sprinting in. And turned, he banked it in. Then Ivy hit his three, and then Hepburn hit his, and Wisconsin gets at least a share of the Big Ten regular season championship. That's their 20th title at Wisconsin. All credit to Greg Gard and his program. I did not have them. I thought this would be the year. It would be a down year for them. I watched them over and over again. I still don't quite know why they're as good as they are. I even told Micah that last night. But you know, they don't have much of a bench. But let's give credit where credit's due. They win games. And let's face it, as fans, that's what you want. You want your team to win games. The other stuff's great, but you know, you're paying the freight. You want to see winning. Wisconsin has given their fans a lot of winning over the years. All right. Let's get to football now. Let's bring in the great man himself from down south, Reginald Walker. Sir, welcome. It is always a pleasure. Great to hear you.
Steve, good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It is combine time, a.k.a. the Underwear Olympics. There are obviously people that will, like John Ross, running a 4.2 whatever, that will obviously blow people's minds. How do you view the combine as a tool in the draft?
I think for some players, you can move yourself by 4 or 5 picks, maybe up to 10 picks. I think, and I've said this publicly, and I'll say this to any GM to their face, if a guy running around in a T-shirt and some tights can move up an entire round, based on all the film that they've studied and all of the people that they've talked to, I would guess that GM's not going to be in that job very long or that lead scout is not going to be in their job very long.
I mean, you have tape of everybody playing the game of football. Can't you figure out when John Dotson catches the ball over the middle against Maryland and then literally runs by two safeties and goes 86 yards that he's got football speed?
Well, exactly. I mean,
I'm sorry. I witnessed it. I'm watching the watch. I mean, all I got to do is look at an all 22 to say, okay.
That's right. No, I think you're absolutely right, which is why, to me, I think I would say this for the combine. The reason why I say you can move up four or five spots is if there's maybe a character question or something like that, something that people don't know about you.
Yeah.
That sit down time is where you can kind of move around.
Good point. That's a really good point, because that's that interview time that's so critical that we don't get to see. You are spot on there.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if you're you just mentioned an example, and you talked about John Ross as well. I mean, did we really think that Saquon Barkley couldn't run by people? I think they already knew that, right?
Right.
Do they really think that, you know, I mean, you can see John Dotson on tape. You can see he's not 6'5", right? So when he walks in a room at 5'11", are you going to be surprised? No. But when you talk to him and understand and get a chance to talk to him about how he gets open in the cerebral part of the game, yes, that can help him move a spot or two, maybe move past another receiver that's right above him on the board, you know, on your big board of receivers, and that receiver maybe didn't have as good of a construct of the mental aspects of the game that Dotson may have. So that's where you can sort of move. But from a flat out, you know, running around in tights, I just don't see where there's this monstrous potential for movement. And if that is the case, you may mess around and end up with a guy like Mike Mamula.
Right, and see, Mike Mamula went out and threw up numbers, and went, whoa, Tony Mandarich threw up numbers. Everybody went, whoa.
Well, Steve, if I would have gone, let me say this to the people at home. If I would have gone to the combine and put up the type of numbers I could have put up without anybody asking Joe, where's the tape? I might have been a first or second round pick myself.
Well, no, that's exactly right, because there are guys. I'll give you a guy that will go in, and in the combine, people will go, whoa, and it's going to be Brandon Smith,
yep,
the Penn State linebacker. He's going to go in there. You're talking about one day we're at practice. It was early on, so there was more of a chance to talk to the players, and Jack Ham was talking to Brandon. So, you know, and I. You know, I just was the fly in the wall at that point. It seems to be my role most of the time, but that's a different topic.
Good place to be, though, sometimes.
Yeah. And he asked him about body fat. And Brandon says, well, yeah, you know, I was able to get down to 4%. And I start looking at my hand, and I'm like going, well, yeah, okay. I may have that in my hand or my wrist. And he'll be able to – he'll run a number. He'll throw up some weights. They're going to look at his body fat number, and I'm telling you right now, they're going to get blown away by the numbers on Brandon Smith.
That's right.
I mean, that's a good example of that. It's the NFL has great athletes playing, the best they've ever had. I think it's the best they've ever had athletically, with weights and all, weight training, everything like that. You're going to have to. It has to be that way. I think every sport's like that right now. Right. But the question is, do we have enough football players out there?
Well, you know, and that's an interesting aspect of it. I think what we have right now, we have a lot more athletes playing football than we have really good football players that are great athletes, right? I think we're starting to see a turnover in that regard. And I think that's been the way in basketball for a long time. And as I watch football, I watch that continue to be more of a factor. And I do worry about the measuring sticks that are being used for these players. I was laughing about it the other day because somebody was telling me, they were talking about Kenny Pickett, obviously from Pitt, and they were saying, well, I don't think his hands,
right,
hand size is not going to measure well.
Right.
And I looked the guy dead in the face and I started laughing. He said, why are you laughing at me? I said, because the size of the football is the same from college to the NFL.
Right.
His hands were too small in college, right?
Right.
If
I'm a GM, I look at my video people and I tell them, I want to see every fumble Kenny Pickett's had the last 2 years. Right?
Exactly right.
In other words, so the reason I want to see it is, what kind of fumble is it? Is it one where, boom, he gets chopped and because in his hand couldn't hold it and he dropped it? Right? In other words, I want to see what kind of fumble. Or was it, hey, look, no matter what, you could have, you know, gigantic hands and the ball still would have been knocked out of there because of the ferocity of the hit. I want to see if a normal hit or a slightly less than average hit knocked the ball out of his hands. Now it does become an issue to me. If it's not, it's no issue. I just tell my video people, because you can do that today. I want to find every fumble Kenny Pickett's had the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Because look, there are certain hits, and you know the ones, right? That guy comes off the edge on the blind side. He's unblocked.
Yep.
Shoulder pad in the middle of the back. I don't care who you are. If you fumble, I am not upset with you.
Right.
I'm just not.
Exactly. And that's so I mean, that's what I'd see. But, you know, that's the problem with this is that there's so little news to cover that you'll then lock in on something. How big is Kenny Pickett's hand? Right? So it was the same thing with Johnny Manziel. Right? Johnny Manziel. Well, guess what? Johnny Manziel's problem was the same problem he had in college. He really wasn't, you know, I know he won the Heisman Trophy because he had a couple of magical games, but he wasn't that good.
No, he wasn't. He just ran around and threw the ball up.
Right.
People forget who his best receiver was.
Oh, it was Mike Evans.
The guy who's a Pro Bowler, Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
Looked great with Tom Brady.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, we have to consider those things. So I do think this draft is going to be interesting, Steve, because I think we're seeing a change and a little bit of a trend in the NFL. And I said this a while back, because of the three and out kind of concept of a lot of college players, particularly quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The quarterback play to me, what I see in drafts year after year, the overall quality to me goes down. And so what I'm seeing and what I'm thinking is going to continue to happen is teams are going to load up on the other positions. They're going to try to either win with a quarterback on a rookie deal, or they're going to trade for a veteran after they've built the entire roster around it. They're going to trade for a veteran and go for it in a 2 or 3 year window and then move on.
That's why I can see Teddy Bridgewater being a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Him, Jameis Winston, Jimmy Garoppolo even, because I don't think Jimmy's going to command
or a long
extension either.
Or Mitchell Trubisky. Now, do I think Trubisky is good in the NFL level? No. Do I think Teddy Bridgewater is competent but not a swing guy? I mean, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't make mistakes. Coaches love that. He just doesn't make big plays. Jameis Winston tries to make big plays, and sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. That's what makes him frustrating to coaches.
And I've asked coaches, and that's always my conversation with them is, would you rather have Jameis go 30-30, or would you rather have Teddy go 22-7?
I think,
and that's touchdowns to interceptions.
Right, and on numbers, they'll tell you 22-7 on numbers.
That's exactly right. Because if you're running the football and if you're playing good defense and you're not creating short fields, it's a much more workable situation.
Right. You know, in the chess game, 22-7 is going to work for a coach every time. And I can understand that because I don't want to be giving the guy 23 extra chances. Right, and Jameis Winston throws 30, Teddy throws 7. Well, Jameis gave them 23 more chances to have the ball, and you and I both know it's about possessions these days. And I understand that you can't really score unless you have possessions.
That's exactly right. You got to have the football to make plays, and so I think it's going to be interesting. I would just tell people to continue to watch this over the next 3 or 4 drafts, where quarterbacks are taken, what the plan is for them, and how many guys get traded for that are already in the league and have shown something.
Reginald, here's the key point to that. You and I both know that there are no, in terms of the first-round picks, 32 first-round picks, the quarterbacks are not among the best 32 players. So there is not a first-round quarterback in the draft, but there's going to be 3 guys taken in the first round.
I completely agree with that. That is spot on. Quarterback, I don't want to say the position's been overvalued, but it has been scrutinized so much to the point to where teams will draft a quarterback regardless of how good they think he can be. And the other thing I think that scares me about it, right, is this whole, like, they want him younger, right, because there's a more upside. But then they build a system, right? This is always the thing, right? Yeah. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I do.
Build the system – to what he does well. Well, that GM and head coach and owner is saying, I don't think any GM in the NFL or any defensive coordinator in the NFL, including mine, is smart enough, or I'm accepting that I'm going to have a limited player for a long time. As you know, way back when the Zach Mills and Michael Robinsons were coming into the NFL, mm-hmm. you got drafted, you went to a team, and you learned their system.
Yep.
And if it took you 3 years, it took you 3 years. But you learned a system. Now they're saying build to what he does best. Well, a lot of these kids, let's call it what it is, they're running the same offense starting in ninth grade. And so by the time they get to college and finish college, they're still only great at making those two throws,
yeah.
the RPO two throws. Well, when you get to the NFL and they take those two throws away from you in the RPO game, what do you have? Well, the answer oftentimes
is you have Justin Fields. You have Justin Fields.
That's exactly right. And so my concern is when that starts to happen, I think what we're going to see is much of the quarterback turnover, much to that we see of the running back position turnover across the National Football League.
One last point. Right? Why do people want to draft first-round quarterbacks? Right? Now, I know he's a third-round pick. But Russell Wilson made this popular for teams to think this way. Why? He was a third-round pick, and the Seattle Seahawks then were paying him, third-round money for 4 years. And what did they do with the extra money? They went out and they got Bobby Averill. They got Percy Harvin. They were able to secure long-term contracts for their four great secondary players. Right. Sherman, Chancellor, I mean, all the way across the board, all of them, because they were paying the quarterback less. They didn't have to pay him $30 million a year. That's what's made this theory popular, in my personal, humble opinion.
Well, I'll add to that by saying this. The other piece of that with Russell Wilson is he was also a four-year quarterback guy. He was a four-year college guy.
Oh, yeah.
So you knew what kind of a player he was.
Absolutely.
And I think what we're seeing now, in addition to what you just said, is also the concept and the construct of these GMs that they're worried about control too, right? And so they trade up and they'll draft a guy in the first round just to get the fifth year for that additional year of control.
Exactly.
So they can control the contract number in that additional fifth year, as opposed to a guy like Russell Wilson, who after 4 years, they had to open the wallet up and let a whole bunch of fresh air in.
And you can franchise him twice, so now you've got 6 years of control.
There you go.
I remember with Le'Veon Bell, I said the problem is not the Steelers franchising him twice. The problem is his union said you could do it. Call your union.
Collective bargaining.
Yeah, it's what collective
bargaining.
Yeah, exactly. My friend, a pleasure. We will catch up again probably next week. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Let's absolutely do that. And speaking of collective bargaining, what's baseball going to
do? At this point, I'd be happy if somebody dropped a bunt. All right. So thanks, my friend.
Take care, Steve.
Reginald Walker, a former Nittany Lion. Great to have him on the show today. We're going to revisit with Alex Cazera from Steelers Depot. Matt's old buddy, old friend, old roommate. Who can not only dish up dirt on the Steelers, he can dish up dirt on Matt. Even better. Well, we're all playing the waiting game. Major League Baseball cannot negotiate again at the earliest until tomorrow, and I don't even think they're going to meet tomorrow, to be honest with you. And big problem. At some point, by the way, we do have to, and maybe we'll do this more in Friday's show, everybody is going to pay tribute to Mike Krzyzewski. And Mike Krzyzewski, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, like anyway, he's not perfect. But my goodness, what an incredible, incredible career he has had. What a great ambassador he has been for the sport of basketball. If you love basketball, what he did for USA basketball in the 8, 12, and 16 Olympics, organizing the respect You know, and a lot of guys helped him, Jim Boeheim being one of them. But Mike Krzyzewski's career on and off the floor, like I said, I've only been around him and talked to him a few times, so he wouldn't know me from the wall. But I have, like anybody, tremendous respect for him. And ESPN will do a full day of coverage on him on Saturday. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show. Thanks to Reginald Walker joining us in the previous half hour. Neil Coulong in the 3:30 half hour. Alex Gazora coming up in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which means everything. Fabulous sales staff that will work with you. They want to save you money. Your trade-in's never been worth more. And not only that, a fabulous service department to back it all up. It really is one-stop vehicle shopping from stem to stern. Outstanding job with inspections, routine maintenance, diagnostics. They take care of it all. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Baseball, of course, again, as I mentioned earlier, the earliest they can meet would be tomorrow, but they're not going to meet tomorrow. I think it's going to be a couple of weeks before they end up meeting again. The first two series of the season are canceled. There's no deadline for a deal right now. And I think May 1st is right now the earliest that we might actually see games in Major League Baseball. Now, the minor leagues are playing. They'll start April 9th. The minor leagues will start on time, no issue, whether it's Reading or Altoona or Lehigh Valley, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, whatever it may be. They'll be playing on April 9th. The Crosscutters get going on June 2nd. The Spikes will have their home opener on June the 3rd. So there is a lot going on with baseball, just as not on the Major League level. Not on the Major League level. And that is that's the story with that. Mike Krzyzewski, of course, will be the big story on Saturday, his final game at Cameron Indoor. And at the Monterey Open in Mexico City, we don't often talk about tennis, but we'll slip this in. Elena Svitolina put on the yellow and blue colors of Ukraine and beat Anastasia Potapova of Russia, 6-2, 6-1. Svitolina is the top seed. She said earlier she wouldn't play against Potapova in Mexico or against any Russian or Belarusian opponent until the International Tennis Federation and the men's and women's tennis tours barred competitors from countries using national symbols, flags, or anthems. Well, she ended up playing anyway. She said, "Today was a very special match for me. I'm in a sad mood, but I'm happy to be playing tennis. I was focused, and I was on a mission for my country." All right. On a mission for us, not only covering the Steelers, but digging up the dirt and there's a lot of, I'm telling you, some dirt. I'm Matt Cotrillo, his old roommate from SteelersDepot.com. Alex Cazzaro. Alex, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. When I used to do a draft show in our apartment at a little table for like 2 hours, so we've come a long way, I would say.
All right, so, okay, let's go back to the table for a moment. Let's have some fun here. Okay. So let's go back to the days you're doing a draft show with Matt. What was, give me a player that Matt was passionate about that was a bust.
Oh, man, that's a really good question. I was listening back to them not too long ago. I was trying to think. Matt, do you remember any particular player that you love? You love the any big receiver.
Basically,
big
yeah.
Fan of the big, tall guys. Yeah.
Now, the one you're referring to was the 2013 draft. I was huge on Mike Evans. And okay. We did like a
couple of things.
Yeah, you got that one, right? Mike Evans is really, really good. All right? I was kind of thinking, like, you know, you'd go with Irv Charles or somebody. What the hell?
No, I wasn't there, but actually, I loved Tre'Davious White at the time.
Oh, dear.
And Alex
now
said,
"You're just bragging." Now you're just bragging.
And Alex didn't like it, but it turns out I had that one right. So okay. I was doing something right.
That's
then.
That's not what the segment's about, Alex. What did Matt get wrong? Okay, we're really good at bragging about the one or two we got right. There had to be 72 we got wrong.
Oh, for sure. I'm trying to think. I wish I could give you a name.
Actually,
right now. But yeah,
I know one.
You're doing a good job introing me. I'll go with Coach.
I know one. Derek Wolf.
Okay. You didn't like Derek Wolf?
Well, no.
He was pretty good, too, though.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I forgot. Yeah. I had said at the time that he was going to be like a first-round pick
For a guy who's negative on the show all the time, boy, you sure are positive about what you do.
Next time, Steve, I will bring a list, I promise, of the things he got wrong.
Alex, I need a list. Well, I can't. To be honest with you, I can't believe off the top of your head you can't name 20. I mean, you want me to give 20 examples on this show just in the last 3 weeks?
Oh, my.
Matt's just rolling his eyes right now. He said, I don't understand. When I play with my kids, they don't give me a hard time. All right, so that's they can't talk yet. All right, so. Let me give you three scenarios here that have been brought up in the last, 48 hours. Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, Mitchell Trubisky. Are any of them, in your opinion, realistic stopgaps for the Steelers if Mason Rudolph is not what they think is the stopgap?
I think all three are. They're kind of that classic veteran bridge journeyman type of guy who's not going to break the bank. You know, quarterbacks still command a decent amount of money in free agency, and with the cap going up, they won't be that cheap. But, you know, we're talking $6 to $7 million on probably a 1 or 2 year deal, which is very much in the Steelers' wheelhouse right now. And I understand any of those guys are not supposed to be long-term future guys and faces of the franchise, and so you have to look at them with that lens in mind. I will say, of that group, I like Teddy Bridgewater the most. I don't get the Trubisky hype. I didn't like him coming out of North Carolina. Didn't do well in Chicago. I get the system, and Nagy wasn't great for him. I'm not sure what 1 year of being the backup in Buffalo changes those circumstances too terribly much. I think people just, you're a year out, you kind of forget about the difficulty in Chicago, and everyone loves the backup quarterback. And so I just can't get on the Trubisky hype train.
You want to know what the hype train is? Out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. Everyone loves a backup.
But nobody's watched him for a year, right? And it was Josh Allen. I mean, to be honest with you, a show of hands, how many knew he was with Buffalo? All right. I mean, seriously, a lot of people didn't realize he was Buffalo's backup quarterback. Look, I know Nagy with the system. I think Nagy's system was fine for Trubisky. It was not fine for Justin Fields. Right? You've got to take advantage of what the skill set of what your quarterback can do, and you can't force him to do stuff he's not good at. And that's where Justin Fields was hurt by Nagy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good point. And I get Trubisky, even if you want to look at the system, but it's hard to make a lot of excuses for a starting quarterback. And he had a lot of time there, and it didn't really work out for him. And even with the Bills, he threw 8 passes and threw 1 terrible interception in only 8 passes. And so I just... Again, it's not going to be the end of the world. Obviously, he's not the long-term guy, and he's athletic. And every coach though thinks they can fix that first-round quarterback, and very few can.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is that you gave me a choice between Mason Rudolph and Trubisky. I'd take Mason Rudolph. All right. Now, the Steelers, of course, will have the usual back draft. All right. This would be me, Alex, and let me run this theory by you. If I'm the Steelers organization, I'm taking a long, hard look at the quarterbacks in 23 and 24 and start targeting a guy I think I can get out of that. For example, Young and Stroud are both eligible for next year's draft in 23. That's what I would do. I mean, because getting a quarterback in this group, I mean, there's no first-round talent in this group. I mean, at all. There's no, the top 32 guys, a quarterback's one of the top 32 guys? No. Not with this group.
Sure. It's a much weaker class. There is no consensus quarterback, let alone a real good feel for, you know, what order all these quarterbacks are going to go, the way that you kind of had at least a general feel for over the last couple seasons. So I get that point, and you're right. You know, if a quarterback's not there, a quarterback's not there. And there are certainly plenty of other needs for the Steelers to address. We'll see how free agency changes some of that, but offensive line certainly could be off-ball linebacker, potentially safety, add some speed at receiver, a lot of other directions this team needs to go. But I will say, you know, even if you assume there's a Young or a Stroud next year, will you be in position to get that guy?
No, you will not.
Pittsburgh's still unlikely to be. Yeah, you won't. And so, like, if you're picking a 20 next year, you're not getting Bryce Young. So it's a tough situation Pittsburgh's in.
Well, that's why, what did I say? I look at the 23 and 24 quarterbacks. Because in 24, they may be in a spot to draft one.
Right, they could be. But then that's even a further projection out. It just gets really murky from there. So I'm thinking like 2023 with those other guys, if they're top picks, if they're, you know, top five picks, it may be tough for Pittsburgh to be in that position to get one of those guys. Because if they're picking even at 15 or 18 or 21, it's going to cost a lot to trade up. So there's a line to walk for sure.
Or eight. I'm telling you, this team is not that good. They could be drafting eight.
Yes, they could be. They're in a tough AFC North for sure. It's a lot of competition there, but it's just very rare for them to have bad years. The whole Tomlin's never had a losing season, even in 19 without Ben. They still find a way to go 8-8. So, yeah, I mean, there's a risk there for sure. And there is no slam dunk franchise guy, but I suspect Pittsburgh will certainly explore those options heavily in this year's draft.
Just because he's never had a losing season doesn't mean they don't start happening. Don Shula had losing seasons. All right, so because it's all about talent. You can't be okay. The Steelers were what were they, 30th in defense last year? Right? Somewhere around there, 30?
Yeah, but I think the defense will be a lot better with the health of guys in 2022.
They had T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. Really? Two guys that had their best years that are at the front line of that. There's something wrong there.
For sure, yeah, there was a disappointment, absolutely. But I think what the foundation of this, the defense's issues last year were the defensive line and all the injuries there, and with guys like Tyson Alualu returning, Stephon Tuitt, some optimism that he'll come back next year. I think overall it'll be a more stable situation. But I understand your point entirely, because you don't want to reach for a quarterback this year and be stuck with that guy for 2-3 years when you could potentially improve other things this year and go get that Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or at least attempt to get one of those guys in the future. It's a really good debate.
But there could be another guy. I'm just saying, there are other people, too. It's not always just the first two guys. Last I checked, Patrick Mahomes was not the first quarterback off the board in his draft. All right, so now they go into this draft. The combine, how did the Steelers I felt the Steelers hit a bad draft patch for about 3 years because they relied on the combine too much. When they got away from the combine and started looking back at them as football players, they started making really good draft picks. But how valuable can the combine be, and is it mostly the interview process or the medical process as opposed to the mumbo-jumbo we see on the screens?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. I think it's largely the latter. It's those things that you can't, you know, find out about a player when you watch him on tape or watch him, you know, in a 40-yard dash. It's the interview, it's the medical, get to know who these people are as actual people. And then obviously from the medical component, any injury risk, long-term, short-type stuff, that's all really important that can make or break some players in this draft. But I think for the Steelers, there's still a value in the combine because I know Kevin Colbert spoke about it. It's an even playing field for all these guys. They're on the same track. They're on the same situation. They're in the same environment. And so it's a lot easier to compare guys one-to-one than competition concerns. Maybe if you're a pro day and you're outside versus inside versus weather and stuff like that. So I do think there is certainly value in the combine just being that even level playing field.
What do you take value in? You know, is it the combine? Is it a tape? Is it
I don't know, is it the interview process? Is it pro day? What do you take? You know, which one of those elements, not just one, but elements that you think are important?
Well, the cliche answer is all the above. It's all pieces of that puzzle that come together. But I think the tape rules the day. I mean, that's ultimately the most expansive information you have is a guy's body of work, of his play, not just what he did, you know, training for 2 months to run a 40 and stuff like that. It's what he's done for his 3, 4, 5 years, however long he was in college for. And I think that has to be the thing that drives your draft board. It does for me. You know, who do you want is based majority off of the tape.
All right. So let's get to the draft board. Hey, have you started putting together what you think is a draft board as a starting point?
Started that. Again, the Combine will influence that. We have a big board on Steelers Depot that I don't personally write. We have a great writer, Scott Favell, that does that. He put together his first edition the other day. But for me, in terms of what the Steelers, I think, will do, a lot of it does come down to that pro day circuit and where those guys end up. But certainly we're working towards building that list of names that could really be on the Steelers' radar.
In the Combine, then, What positions are you looking for, and what elements are you looking for that you Steelers should be thinking about?
Well, obviously the quarterbacks, but I think everyone understands that. But I think offensive line in particular, and just how some of these guys test. And it's not about the 40 for the offensive linemen. Obviously, it's a lot about 10 splits and some of those agility drills and things like that, how they move overall. But I think it'll be really good to watch some of this offensive line class. It's a really strong tackle class overall. The interior linemen, not quite as strong, but there could be some really good guard and center prospects at pick 20 for Pittsburgh, whether that's a Kenyon Green from Texas A&M, Zion Johnson from Boston College, Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa is the top center in this class. And so if quarterback's not on the Steelers' radar for whatever reason at pick 20, I think you have to pivot towards offensive line and start looking at one of those names I just mentioned.
Linderbaum, by the way, is a big-time player, just so you know. Big-time player. Moves well, snaps well, blocks really well, good on run block, pass protection. I've seen the guy on tape and I've seen him in person. See, that's what I go by. In other words, how does a guy look against top flight competition? I mean, his tens, his shuttles, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? That all comes out during a game. Okay? How did Tyler Linderbaum perform when he was against PJ Mustipher? Because I know how good PJ is. Right, if he's holding his own and winning half the time, that tells me he should be in the NFL. If he's not, he shouldn't be. That's my gauge is playing. Right, my gauge is not about, oh look, it's the underwear Olympics, fabulous. I really loved how he ran the shuttle. Right, that's just people trying to justify their jobs.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think you made a really important point, Steve. It's not just about the tape, but it's about who you're going against. And when you went against the best guys, how did you look? Because when you're in the NFL, there are no days off, there are no plays off. You're facing the best of the best every single time. And so for Rasheed Walker from Penn State, for example, first game I put on to him, how did he do against Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan and viewed that battle? And so I think that's a really critical point within the tape of who you're going against. Because you want to get the freshman versus a top draft pick, totally different story.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point, Alex, because – in the NFL, you're right. Every single matchup is a son of a gun. I mean, all the time, because you know where I see it? If you go to an NFL game, and you go to them all the time, so I have to tell you, watch special teams. You know what you see on special teams? Everybody can run. Like, holy mackerel. I mean, that's the athletes in the NFL are incredible. And you see it on special teams because it's more wide in the wide open field. There's nobody out there who's out there jogging. I mean, it's all like watching like 11 Macatrillos.
Oh, I love it. I put that in a scouting report somewhere or something. No, that's a great point. I think the other component of special teams is it reminds you of how good the NFL is, where you're watching the guys running down kicks and punts. They were the college stars. Like, Benny Snell was one of the top SEC players in his time, and now he's running down kicks and punts as a backup running back. And so that reminds you about the quality competition and how even the special teamers were the college all-stars.
And then there's another one, too. When you're drafting rounds 4 through 7, do you look at guys, Alex, along the way that not only, how will they fit into the team, but also can play special teams?
Absolutely, because you know those guys rounds, you know, 4 through 7, even undrafted guys, day 3 types, they're unlikely to be in a starting role, and so they're going to have to make their, you know, way and climb that ladder through special teams to getting a helmet. There are so many stories of that for every single team around the league, of guys that have climbed that ladder. So I think absolutely you look at, you know, can this guy play special teams? Has he done it? Does he have the traits to translate and the want to make that adjustment? Because if you can't play in special teams and you're a 4th, 5th round pick, you're not going to get a helmet. You're not going to last long in the NFL.
So in the next couple of weeks, can we get you back prepared with some of the of Matt Cotrillo's greatest hits?
I promise. I will have a long list. I will have a Kyler Murray agent list of names that Cotrillo's whiffed on over the years.
Oh, boy.
This is an opportunity, Matt, for the audience to get to know you better.
I thought they knew that already, but, well, actually, there's some things that they could probably find out.
Now, again, Alex and I both understand it's a family show. So so what do you even say we're going to get to know that well? All right. Alex, you're awesome. It's great. I love the fact you and Matt are such good friends because it allows us to get you on the show. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Matt. Take care.
Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com. Next time he's on the show, he'll be better prepared with better dirt. I mean, really good stuff on Matt. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Sales staff, it's customer service oriented. That's the motto, and they believe it through and through. And your trade-in's never been worth more. Don't forget, fabulous service department. Whether it's inspections, routine, or diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Tomorrow's show from Champaign. We'll talk Penn State basketball. My first chance to see in person this year. Illinois led by Kofi Coburn. That'll be a 7 o'clock start tomorrow, 6:30 the airtime. But, of course, we're on from 3 to 5 tomorrow. Great to have you with us today. And thanks for joining us on News Radio 1070 WKOK.